Cheryl Thelman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's always wonderful having you join me because this is a show where I get to have some fantastic conversations with really inspiring people. And as a result, we all get to learn and grow and just continue this journey of empowerment. And I have another great conversation, of course, scheduled for today. I do want to say, for all of those listening for the very first time, welcome to What Women Must Know. I'm so pleased you're here listening. I hope you'll, you know, check in every week. And that's why I'm going to suggest you go over to my website, drcherylthelman.com, because when you opt in there, I send out the archive shows. And you can always go over to my Facebook page, which is also What Women Must Know, where you can as well get the shows posted every week. So on What Women Must Know, it's your place to get great information, great conversations. And I have to say, I have another wonderful program on this network, and it's on every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And that show is called The Love Code. That's a pretty new show I've just initiated on the network on PRN.FM. And this is a great program. The Love Code is where we are combining, merging the leading science with ancient wisdom and talking to all these wise elders, quantum scientists. We're talking to inspiring spiritual teachers who are providing us not only with inspiration but practical tools so we can access our own love code. So I hope you'll meet me there. And again, if you just go to drcherylthelman.com, and I'm going to spell my name because no one ever gets it right, S-H-E-R-R-I-L-L, two R's, two L's, Selman, S-E-L-L-M-A-N. Please go over to my website, opt in there, because you'll just continue to get the kind of information that will really support you and those you love. So let's jump into a great conversation about how to create a radical metabolism with a very special friend of mine and a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, Ann Louise Gittleman. So let me just say a little bit about Ann Louise. As one of the world's foremost experts in functional and integrative medicine, Ann Louise holds an MS in nutrition education from Columbia University, has the title of Certified Nutrition Specialist from the American College of Nutrition, and a PhD in Holistic Nutrition. She has also served as the Chief Nutritionist of Pediatric Clinic at Bellevue Hospital and is the former Director of Nutrition at the Pritikin Longevity Center in Santa Monica, California. She has won numerous awards, including the American Medical Writers Association Award for Excellence. She is an award-winning New York Times best-selling author of over 30 books on health and nutrition, including diet, detox, women's health, men's health, perimenopause, menopause, beauty, and the environment. Her most recent best-selling book is called Radical Metabolism, A Powerful New Plan to Blast Fat and Reignite Your Energy in Just 21 Days. A great topic. All of us are really excited to hear what Ann Louise has to say, because she always inspires me in our conversations, and I know she will inspire you. So, having said all that, it's my great pleasure to welcome Ann Louise Gittleman to the show today. Hello, Ann Louise.
Hello, Dr. Cheryl Thelman, and happy everything to you. Happy New Year. Happy 2019. Happy healthy hormones as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. And right back at you, Ann Louise. You know, every year, seems like almost every year, you're always there researching and sharing the information. You always are right there at the leading edge. I have to just say, Ann Louise, I was thinking about this. When I was in Australia, when I was living in Australia and I was writing my book, Hormone Heresy, I think that's when I first encountered you as an author, as a best-selling author, which was a while ago, to be totally honest. It was a while ago. And, you know, we've met over the years, and we just have a wonderful friendship and a wonderful relationship, and I know you always are a source of inspiration for me, and it's just a pleasure that I get to have this time with you, and we get to share and learn and support each other and everyone else listening out there, because we're both on the same track, committed to empowering people with truthful information.
Yes, thank you. And I thank you so much for your wonderful work. And I might say we're kind of like a sister in arms, comrade, so to speak, because you were one of the first to talk about the dangers of EMFs, and now everybody's jumping on your bandwagon.
Well, I guess sometimes I'm an early adapter. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it isn't. but I'm so glad. I mean, I know you've written your book, Zapped, about the dangers of EMFs, and there have been some summits recently. So it is time that people really wake up to the real dangers of what electromagnetic radiation frequencies from all our smart devices and, you know, the billions that are about to go online are doing to us. So, yes, it's important information. But today, we're going to talk about radical metabolism. So the statistics about what's happening to the girth of Americans is pretty staggering. And that always takes us back to metabolism, because if you had a healthy metabolism, you would be able to, you know, burn your carbs, burn your fat, keep your weight, your energy, keep your health. And we have a serious problem because of the growing obesity epidemic, and not just in this country, it's around the world, actually. Where did I see? I saw somewhere in the news that they were thinking of banning anyone on their television. Maybe it's Indonesia, maybe it's Malaysia. Maybe you know, Annalise. They were banning anyone to appear on TV if they were overweight.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Because they're so concerned. So anyway, let's talk about radical metabolism. First of all, let's just talk about metabolism. For those that may not really understand what that means, let's just start there, and then we can look at what is really necessary to help improve and enhance and generate a healthy metabolism.
Well, you know, when I think about metabolism, I think about digestion, number one, but it's not just what you're digesting, it's what you're assimilating and utilizing. So digestion and metabolism really encompass living healthfully, and living healthfully in an environment which is increasingly toxic. So most of us are having issues with metabolism because our thyroids are being short-circuited. We've got heavy metals. We've got chemicals displacing iodine. We've got estrogen-type hormones that are in the plastics and pesticides as well. So all of this is impacting us, and it's making it much more difficult than ever before, not just to digest healthfully, but actually to lose weight. So the concept of radical metabolism takes all of this kind of one step higher. And we're talking about people getting back in step, back in tune with what their bodies natively were designed to do, and there's no real diet without detox. So the concept of detoxification is very much part of a healthy metabolism, which is why in this book, Cheryl, I talk about a 4-day cleanse, a 21-day program, and then, of course, a maintenance. So we clean the system, we clean out the pumps, and we also recognize that when it comes to metabolism, there is one particular organ that is very much underrated and ignored, and that's the gallbladder. So I firmly believe that a lot of our problems in this day and age have to do with the removal of the gallbladder, or a sluggish bile that is really impacting so many people and interfering with their ability to lose weight. So this book makes a connection between the metabolic organs of the liver, the thyroid, and the gallbladder the way no other book has before.
Okay, so that's why this is such an important piece of the puzzle for all of us, to understand that connection between the liver, the gallbladder, and the thyroid. And do you know what the statistics are for how many people in this country get their gallbladder removed every year?
I think it's a six-figure statistic, number one, and it's the most common abdominal surgery we have in this country. And sometimes it's absolutely necessary. Woe be it for me or anyone, for that matter, to say that, you know, you shouldn't have your gallbladder removed, especially when it's a life and death threatening situation. But I'm talking about the steps way before that occurs, whereby you can counteract and prevent your body from getting to the point where you need to have the gallbladder removed. So it's a the point is of all of this is to understand that your liver produces a liquid called bile. something like a quart and a half a day. And this bile is stored in the gallbladder, which is kind of like a storage tank. When the gallbladder becomes clogged up and the bile becomes congested and doesn't free flow the way that it should, not only does it impact your inability to lose weight or your ability to lose weight, but it also impacts your ability to detoxify, and people are not talking about that. So that bile is a method of detoxification for the liver. And it also is connected, interestingly enough, and strangely enough, and weirdly enough, to the thyroid. Because what we have learned is that individuals that have a reduced bile flow, individuals perhaps that don't have a gallbladder would have a reduced bile flow, or those that have a clogged bile, which is very common in this day and age because of the buildup of so much fake estrogens in the environment, those individuals are 7 times more likely to suffer from hypothyroidism. So there's a dramatic relationship between the thyroid and the breaking down of fats, because the dietary fats, based on the latest research that I talk about in the book, actually provide the body with the very raw materials that are needed to produce active thyroid hormones. And nobody really has written about this before, although the research is pretty conclusive that has been done in Finland and at Harvard. So as far as I'm concerned, radical metabolism is also the new thyroid cure, and this is a discovery that is important for so many women out there that are considering having their gallbladder removed or who have already had their gallbladder removed, because we can help them get back a healthy radical metabolism.
Wow. So let's break some of that down, because there's a lot of what you just said, Anne Louise. So first of all,
you bet.
Let's start at the very beginning, a gallbladder. What's the purpose of a gallbladder?
It stores the bile, which is what your body needs to break down dietary fats and also help to flush toxins. It's a detox method of the liver. So it's a storage tank, basically.
So, in Chinese medicine, you talk about the organs and the two organs and the husband and wife. So it's like liver and gallbladder are paired.
Yeah.
Together.
They're married. They're married, or they should be.
Yeah, so they're working together. So gallbladder operations are really common because people have gallstones. So why do people get gallstones?
Well, because I think as we age, quite frankly, everyday toxins start to increase and build up in your body, and they can become trapped in the bile, which is a detox method. So when these toxins build up and become entrapped in bile, then the bile itself becomes very thick and unable to flow freely. So it's like sludge getting mixed in with dish detergent, basically. And the other issue that I think is important is that excess estrogen, which is in everything, as you know, in this day and age, like contraceptives as well as food additives, will raise cholesterol levels in your bile, which makes the bile even more thick and more prone to being congested. So there are a lot of reasons. Stress is another reason, interestingly enough. We know that the stress hormone cortisol can also impact bile production. The lack of hydrochloric acid in the system hinders bile production. So there are a lot of reasons with regard to stress, the environment, and digestion. They all kind of congeal together to impact your metabolism. And so there's a very sneaky GI glitch that's disrupting the thyroid glands of millions of women, and it has to do with bile, free-flowing bile, or the lack of a gallbladder and the timed release of bile when you're eating fatty foods. So I find this very interesting, worthy of repetition, because it's hard to wrap your mind around it because it's so new and kind of radical, which is why I called the book Radical Metabolism. But basically, to repeat, the dietary fats that you eat supply your body with the raw materials that are necessary to activate thyroid hormones. And when fat is being stored in the cells instead of being broken down by the bile, because that's its biological job, then the thyroid basically doesn't get the building blocks it needs. And there's been studies that show that when bile is released to break down dietary fats, it then triggers an increase in the production of a particular enzyme that then converts the inactive T4 thyroid hormone into active thyroid T3, which is the activated thyroid hormone. And the activated thyroid hormone is, in fact, your body's main thyroid hormone, which is very responsible for switching the body into a fat-burning, not sugar-burning mode, and it's very responsible for firing up the metabolism. So all of this is very important to understand and to implement in your eating regimen so that you can break down fats adequately. And if you don't have a gallbladder, you need gallbladder replacement supplements or foods. That's what it's all about.
Wow. So you know, when you were talking, it did bring me back to the thought, which I've written about in my book, Hormone Heresy, about some of the risks associated with estrogen, is that it increases the risk of gallbladder problems and ultimately having gallbladder surgery. And you just take a moment with that thought, because we have all these women on HRT or even bioidentical hormones or birth control pills, or if you're overweight, your fat becomes the fat that you're carrying actually becomes a little organ producing estrogen as well. So we have this huge problem with all these not to mention the environmental estrogens. I mean, every time you get a receipt from any of the supermarkets or any receipt, It has bisphenol A in it, which is obesogen. It creates obesity,
yes.
Creates estrogen because of the chemicals in there. So all these estrogens that we have play a major role in impacting and compromising gallbladder function. And then you talked about your hydrochloric acid in your stomach. So you think about all the people who are on protein pump inhibitors,
shutting. And the thing that concerns me when I hear this and hear you, of course, repeat this so eloquently, is that this is one of the reasons that we're so fat. We're not looking in the right places for all the reasons behind or the root causes of weight loss resistance. And there is so much thyroid dysfunction. I mean, it's through the roof in terms of it being an epidemic. So there's all kinds of things that are going on. And who would think that there's a bile connection to the thyroid, but there is, when you think about that up to 80% of women over 40 then suffer from insufficient or poor quality bile, and a lot of that is because of just what you said, the excess estrogen, because of the hormones that they start taking in their late 30s, early 40s, and then, of course, the lack of HCL, digestive enzymes, for anybody over the age of 40. So it's just a mess if you don't look in the right places and get into the right program.
Yes, because we don't really understand what's going on. So then we make up a story, or you go to your doctor who doesn't have the answers to why this is happening, just has a quick solution. But we need to talk about that quick solution. So when someone has their gallbladder removed, the storage tank that holds the bile so it can be released when needed, especially after or during a meal, so it can help digest your foods, your fats, that storage tank is removed. What happens, Anne Louise, when the storage tank, the gallbladder, is removed?
Well, the body, simply speaking, when the storage tank or the gallbladder is removed, there are many consequences. Number one, the body loses its ability to regulate bile flow, which means that you stop digesting fats, and then you also stop digesting fat-soluble vitamins, so you do not have the ability to utilize infection-fighting vitamin A, which is an oil-soluble vitamin, or immune-boosting vitamin D, or circulatory-revving vitamin E, or bone-building vitamin K. So you don't have the ability to absorb many of these essential fatty acids or oil-based vitamins, number one. And I think there's a deficiency of all of those oil-based vitamins as we get older. I mean, vitamin D deficiency is rampant, for God's sakes. So that's number one. And then number two, you don't detoxify toxins, because the bile is one of the methods that the body uses to dump heavy metals, tie them up with a little fiber, and remove them from the system. So without that ability, you're not detoxifying well. And if you've got any of the MTHFR genetic glitches, I mean, this adds insult to injury. So we have to start supplementing our digestion, number one, our digestive acids, number two, and our ability to detoxify, number three. And that's what I try to do in the book. I try to present a program that allows you to detoxify and then boost bile production with foods, with supplements, with special herbs. And in that way, you'll improve thyroid efficiency and you'll boost your metabolism.
So when people think that taking their gallbladder out is going to solve their problem, it may solve the chronic pain that comes from skull stones. They get stuck in the bile duct and become very painful. But it isn't solving the real problem that caused that condition. And then there are the consequences from not having that storage tank, the gallbladder, available. So people get into more trouble if they don't know what to do and how to take care of themselves. And we're just talking about after a surgery. We're going to get into what to do so you don't ever have to have a surgery. But I want to address what people need to do who have had their gallbladder removed, because I know a lot of people who've had their gallbladder removed. And they're always looking for what is required to help them thrive without a gallbladder. What do you recommend?
Well, people need a couple of things. They need the bile acids. They need to supplement what they call the bile salts, bile acids or bile salts, or they have nutrients that help to break down bile. So you can get those in the form that I developed. One that we developed is called the Bile Builder, which has had extraordinary results. Or you get an ox bile supplement, which is a concentrated form of bile derived from cows, in the health food store, or a number of herbs that have bile thinning properties. Gentian is one of them that's very familiar to people, as well as angelica, even anise. So there are herbal ways of going about this, there are supplemental ways of going about this, and there are digestive ways of going about this.
So when a person first has a gallbladder attack and they know there's a problem with their gallbladder, if they were to take some of what you've recommended, like your bile builder product or bile salts or ox bile, things to help to decongeal, so to speak, that bile, would that be what you would recommend to help them reverse a condition that hopefully they are able to reverse so they don't have to have that surgery?
You have to do a couple of things. The nutrients are very important, from the bile salts that I talked about to even betaine from beetroot is another one. Choline is a bile thinner. Lecithin is another famous bile thinner. But it's also the removal of three particular foods that I write about in the book that can remove gallbladder pain almost 100% of the time. I'm not going to tip my hat on this one. You're going to have to get the book, but it has been amazing in terms of the connection, Cheryl, between food allergies and irritation or inflammation of the gallbladder ducts. And one particular food that we've never recognized before really has come up in the literature. So removing food specifically can do a great deal to remove the pain that people feel, which would negate or obviate the need for immediate gallbladder surgery.
Yeah, you know, it just, I haven't gotten that part in the book, so I'm not going to tip your hat either on the subject. But but certainly people need to understand that toxic foods, processed foods, heavily laden sugar products, I mean, these cannot be good for the gallbladder. They cannot be good for the gallbladder. So we have to go back to understanding how to clean up our diet. That is kind of a no-brainer, but people need to really be educated as to why that's so important, especially if they are having these gallbladder attacks and they don't want surgery and the consequences from that.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that these are foods that you wouldn't normally recognize or consider. One of them, I will tip my hat a little bit on this one, because it's not necessarily a fatty food, but it was onions. Onions are the number three most common food allergy-related underlying causes of gallbladder attacks. And so
wow.
It could be a
really?
Yeah,
really?
Think about it. Yeah, yeah,
why?
Yeah.
What makes onions so dangerous?
See, I don't know. This is just what the research says. I mean, I can guess, give you an educated guess, but this was research that was done way long ago in the 1960s, you know, an era that you and I, I'm sure, can remember. Or maybe we don't remember well. They say if you remember the 60s, you've never lived through the 60s. But there was research done in the 60s by a very renowned allergist, and it was completely ignored. But when he put all of his patients on this allergy-eliminating food program of these top three foods mostly, there were other foods as well, but there were three that were just way, way indicative of gallbladder pain. People had, you know, 100% loss of pain. So there was a great deal of healing that went on just by the elimination of foods. Now, in terms of the onions, maybe it has to do with the sulfur component. I'm not certain. But that was a biggie in reference to gallbladder pain. And sometimes, by the way, when you get your gallbladder out, the pain doesn't necessarily go away. So this is a big one before and after surgery, if you must.
Wow, really? Your pain doesn't, for some people, the pain doesn't go away after they've had their gallbladder removed?
Yes, and I have a feeling it has to do with the continuation of these foods that are very inflammatory.
Well, yeah. Well, that's so interesting. So, you know, there are techniques that supposedly help, you know, like I think a laser is used to help break down gallstones. Have you come across any research or have anything to say about what is being used in terms of helping people to break down those stones without surgery?
Well, I know what I have used before to help my people, which is orthophosphoric acid. It's a product called PhosFood from Standard Process, or PhosFazyme, I think is what it's called, from Biotics. So it's a very acidic-based phosphoric substance, which has been very helpful for kidney stones and as well as gallbladder stones. So there are natural techniques that people can use, and of course there used to be those flushes, you know, where you'd have the apple juice and the grapefruit and the lemon and then a ton of olive oil. But we don't suggest those because stones can actually get stuck in the duct and it can be very, very
really painful,
very dangerous. Yeah, so we don't do that, but just something natural to kind of break up the stones. That's what's so important. But, you know, you think of it, because when people get older, I mean, it's very simplistic in terms of the digestive connection. You stop the production of hydrochloric acid, and the production of hydrochloric acid triggers the release of bile from the gallbladder. And so without that, you're getting bile that's not released, so it starts to congeal. So there are many different ways to get a stone. You know, there are many different roads to Rome, so to speak.
Yeah,
so you've got to really do a checklist of all these things. And I try to do that in the book to make people see all the ways that they've built up, you know, this toxic condition that's impacting the gallbladder, for one.
So do you think everyone, like over the age of 40, should be taking a hydrochloric acid supplement of some sort?
They should be taking something that is like some people can't even tolerate hydrochloric acid because they have thinning stomach walls. You know, the mucosal lining has become so thinned, or they have H. pylori. So we put them on a program to kind of soothe all that. And if they've had GERD before, we want to make sure that even when they take HCl, they're not irritating the esophageal lining. So we give them special oils for the first 3 weeks to kind of heal any kind of irritation or wounds that may be occurring in the upper GI tract. And then we give them either bitters, Cheryl, so some people can't tolerate the HCl, so we give them a form of bitters that you can get in the health food store, or even some vinegar and water. So there are different techniques for different people. Many of these techniques are vegan, for those that don't want to just do the bile salts, you know, the ox bile from cows. Mm-hmm. If they can do the herbal, they can do the bitters, they can do the bitter teas, or the bitter diet, the bitter fruits, vegetables, and fruits that I talk about in my program.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of starts right there at the very beginning of the digestive process, of being able to properly digest and assimilate, starting with the stomach with hydrochloric acid, which, you know, as we said earlier, gets destroyed when people start taking proton pump inhibitors that supposedly are helping their indigestion and their reflux. But, you know, that's another story, because most people...
Another story, another book, a completely different story. But, you know, it all interrelates. Everything is connected.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's so important to be able to have adequate hydrochloric acid. So this has been really helpful because we understand more about the gallbladder, its role, and I want to go back to that thyroid connection so we really get it, because this is a new piece for me, and I definitely think it's a critical piece of the puzzle to understand why we are having so many thyroid issues and what we need to do to really support our thyroid. So let's go back, and if you can break that down, Anne Louise, what's going on there, that relationship between the gallbladder and the thyroid again, and because the thyroid controls so many key functions of the body, we need a healthy functioning thyroid. So help us understand what you have put together, Anne Louise.
Well, And I must tell you this, let me preface my remarks by saying that I stumbled upon this after being interviewed for a summit. And it was a summit, believe it or not, on the microbiome. And I was talking to this functional medicine doctor, and he just offers this offhanded observation that many of his people, many of his women that have had gallbladder removal also within 3 to 4 months start showing a slowdown, a real halting of their metabolism and their thyroid function. So that's what started me on my little quest to do some research and see what was going on, because, I mean, we've got thyroid problems coming. I mean, it's coming out of left field at this point. Everybody's got an autoimmune issue. They've got a slowdown. They've got issues metabolizing. It's more so now than I've ever seen. And, you know, we've been in the business long enough to know that there's really something afoot. So when I did the research, I found some studies that were done in Finland. And it was in Finland where they first discovered that individuals that had a lowered or decreased bile flow were 7 times more likely to suffer from a hypothyroid condition. And the reason that they hypothesized was because that the dietary fats, which provide your body with all the raw materials that are needed to produce active thyroid hormones, are somehow not being digested properly. So that when fat is being stored rather than being broken down as it's designed to be by bile, then the thyroid somehow is deficient in the very building blocks it needs. So when bile is released to break down dietary fats, it then initiates an enzyme which has the ability to transform the inactive T4, which is a thyroid hormone, into the very activated T3 hormone. And that, in turn, starts to move the body from a sugar-burning mode into a fat-burning mode the way it's designed to be. So that's number one. Then I saw that there was some research from Harvard which suggested that subjects who had improved bile health were able to experience an over 50% increase in metabolism. And that, to me, Cheryl, means that there's a spike there, a spike of over 50% increase in metabolism by just improving your bile health must mean the difference between constantly dieting without ever seeing really permanent results and then watching pounds effortlessly fall off your body. So to me, this was very important, and I created a kind of quiz, and I can ask your listeners the same questions that I wrote in the book, whether or not the suboptimal bile flow is connected to your particular thyroid condition. And there's some very interesting symptoms that are conducive to both conditions, problems with the thyroid and problems with the gallbladder or lack of bile flow or congested bile. So... to me.
So do you want to do that? Do you want to read off?
Yeah, I do. Let me just think about them.
Okay.
I'm on a roll there, and I got to think about what I wanted to ask. Okay, this is one that's a little radical, and it may not typically be associated with hypothyroidism, but it is because of the suboptimal bile connection. in terms of location. So this is the pain between the shoulder blades or under the rib cage. And when you've got pain between your shoulder blades or under the rib cage, then that can always be a reflective issue that's going on with the gallbladder. And any area, by the way, where you have pain along the gallbladder meridian, which could be around your ears as well, which is why we've associated dizziness with bile and thyroid. This connection goes hand in hand. If, in fact, you have gray or light-colored stools, this means sluggish bile could be slowing your thyroid. If you bloat easily, especially after a fatty meal, if you've got radiating leg pain, and if you've got insomnia or maybe middle-of-the-night sleep disturbances. So these are all sample questions that may point to the relationship between the bile and thyroid. And if you can affect the bile, if you can detox and build up your bile with the right foods and the herbs and the supplements, then you can then indirectly impact your thyroid.
Yeah, those are really useful questions because people don't always associate pain between their shoulder blades is related to their gallbladder, but it is definitely a reflex point that people need to be aware of. So, beetroots are really popular now. I think you've helped to make them popular, but they are really popular health food. I mean, there's beetroot powder, and then people are adding beetroots into their smoothies, blending them up, and just eating lots of beets. Why are beets so important and play a role in helping to support healthy gallbladder and healthy metabolism?
Well, they contain betaine, which is a very rich nutrient in bile-thinning properties. So it thins the bile. Very similar, quite frankly, to starting the day with 8 ounces of hot water mixed with the juice of half a lemon. In this case, the acids in the lemon stimulate bile flow and help the liver then flush toxins and excess estrogen that make the bile thick. So there's lots of little tricks of the trade that I think people are already doing, and now there's even more importance attached to them. So beetroot definitely, like lemon juice is a bile thinner. Dandelion root is a bile thinner, would you believe? The dandelion root tea that we've learned to love and admire and are used to drinking. Even coffee, Cheryl, is considered a bitter and is a bile thinner. The right kind of coffee, a mold-free, organic, high polyphenol, high antioxidant coffee. So lots of foods already in our repertoire, in our menu. We just have to make sure that they're organic, mold-free, non-GMO. They just have to be higher quality. But we're already eating a lot of these bile-thinning foods.
Well, I have to say, I have been using hot water and lemon juice every morning. That's the first thing I do. I have my hot water and lemon juice, an automatic thing when I get up. I have been doing that for years and years and years. I don't know where I learned. I think my grandfather did it. So it's something that is just part of my life right now. I mean, I even travel with lemons or limes when I'm on the road because it's so important to start the day with hot water and lemon juice, fresh lemon juice. So I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's an easy one. But then the other thing is that I think is important when you think about my menu plan, because we give you a 21-day menu plan. We give you a little bit of a 4-day detox to kind of prime the pump, detoxify the organs to get your body ready for deep cleaning and bile building once you detox the bile. But I think you have to include more bitter foods in the diet because the bitter foods stimulate digestion and decongest the bile. So that's where bitters come in handy. And you think of the bitters, I think of grapefruit, I think of arugula, endive, radicchio. I think of bitter herbs, which interestingly enough would be your horseradish would be one of them, as well as turmeric is considered a bitter in ginger. So there's lots in nature's treasure chest to really choose from, and we're not eating enough bitters. So even though we're starting the day, as I hope many of your listeners are, with your lemon and water, we can just increase that for 2 more meals, and then you've got your bitters covered, because the bitters are a natural flavor that we've lost over the years. And even though it's part of the repertoire of other nations' food intake, we don't really have a lot of bitters on our dinner plate anymore, not the way we used to or really should have.
You know, I remember reading somewhere that the origin of the salad came from European origin, but having bitter greens before a meal. So they would have those radicchio or the dandelion greens, all those arugula, bitter types of greens would be eaten before a meal to help prepare the body and produce the bile and whatever else it may be doing. And then it's evolved into just having a salad without a lot of those bitters and to have it with a meal. But that ancient folk wisdom was right on, you know, have your bitters before, or having that bitter aperitif where you can still buy bitters drink, and that used to be taken before a meal, is, you know, the wisdom was there. When we just need to go back to it now, because now we have an understanding more than ever why it's so important.
Agreed. And, you know, you talk about the ancient wisdom, and I guess as I get older, I keep looking backwards, sometimes not forwards, at certain words of wisdom, so to speak. But in the early 20th century, people recognized, the nutritional pioneers that wrote in those days, recognized the importance of bile and bile acids. Nobody's talking about it anymore. We've gotten so sophisticated, we've forgotten some of the basics. So I felt that the lack of bile and the lack of making bile sexy again was one of my missions in life. So that's another reason that I felt compelled to write Radical Metabolism. And even though the use of bitters and bile and the importance of the gallbladder has been long forgotten, it's not just important for weight loss. As I said, it's important for detoxification, which is just as important an issue in this day and age.
So one other thing I just thought about before we move on to another topic. So the gallbladder is designed to be the storage tank to hold the bile when it's needed with meals or whatever. So when you have a gallbladder removed, the liver produces the bile, but it just keeps dripping like a leaky faucet, right? And
yes.
And that's a problem in itself. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, without the timed release of bile, you're not regulating the bile flow, so you're not digesting your fats adequately. That's basically what you can understand from that. And sometimes that little leak that's from the liver that goes right into the gut can be very irritating to the gut. So you need the timed release of the bile. You need it to digest fats. You need it to flush toxins. You need it to activate the active T3, the thyroid hormone. And you need it to assimilate those fat-soluble vitamins. And so without this timed release, we're not assimilating or activating or detoxifying the way that we should.
Okay, that really explains it. So in your book, Radical Metabolism, which is what we're talking about today, can people find the plan, the protocol, the steps to help support and heal their gallbladder, number one, first question. The second part of that question is, do you have an online program that does that, Anne Louise?
Well, a couple of things. They can definitely find the program. We've got the 4-day intensive cleanse, which utilizes special juices, which are detoxifying and kind of prime the pump, as well as a special soup, which is my watercress soup, a highly bitter food that's very good for detoxification. So yes, indeed, in reference to that. And in terms of online, we give support at the Radical Metabolism Revolution Facebook page. So we've got full-time moderators that are guiding and acting as cheerleaders for anybody that wants to engage in a radical metabolism. And this book is not just another diet book. This is far beyond what you're going to read in a keto book or a paleo book. I kind of rewrite the rules of nutrition in this book. So we go to the cause behind the cause and teach people to not only use the right kind of foods to lose weight, be healthy, and detoxify in, but I also make a play in this book for the importance of what you're cooking in. So it's not just important to eat healthfully, but if you don't watch what you're cooking in, the material of your pots and pans, then you're not doing your body a service.
So you're talking about like the Teflon, all the nonstick types of cooking ware? That can be very toxic.
Well, I think people are pretty aware of that, but yes, we're talking about that. We're talking about aluminum foil. We're talking about certain kind of stainless steel. We're talking about cast iron, because unless you've taken a ferritin test, I'm telling everybody to throw away their cast iron. So we're talking about issues that most people have not touched in their other books. That's why this is so radical and so necessary.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like it covers so many facets of an issue that people have not been aware of, and all the, like, even the cookware. Who would have thought that that's a major part of looking after your healthy gallbladder, which has a major role to do in your healthy metabolism, and when we talk about metabolism, it's not just the ability to burn fat, it's the metabolism that's controlled by the thyroid, which you explained so well. So it's a really big story that, fortunately, Anne Louise, your research is bringing to the fore. So, I mean, to me it's exciting because I'm always looking for root cause issues. Let's get to the bottom line. Yeah, let's keep digging a little deeper. Let's keep looking in different areas so we can find real solutions. And, I mean, we know this is an epidemic. A gallbladder issue is an epidemic, but certainly obesity is an epidemic. The thyroid issue is an epidemic. So you're really helping to put all those pieces together and then give people a practical plan to get healthy.
Well, that's the goal, but people people want instant weight loss. So the carrot here is weight loss, which you'll achieve, but it's healthy weight loss.
Right, and something that is going to optimize the body's ability to function. You're going to have, the fact that you can have impaired sleep, which, of course, that's another issue in the sleep epidemic, the sleep-deprived sleep epidemic, and most people wouldn't necessarily consider that their poor sleep or interrupted sleep has to do with what's happening with their gallbladder and their bile production.
Nobody thinks about it, but we tell you what the gallbladder times are when you wake up, what to look for, and so you can really analyze your body clock, because your body knows best and your body is spewing out these SOS signals. You just have to learn to decipher and interpret them.
Yes, absolutely. That's the whole thing. We have to know how to read the signs. the signs are there all around us, but if you don't know how to read the signs, if you don't know how to read the map, you kind of wander off into some dangerous territory, actually.
True. Very true.
Because the last thing you want is to have surgery. The last thing you want is to remove an organ, because there are no redundant organs in our body. They all serve important purpose, and the mere act of cutting into the body creates scar tissue and other issues. So, everything that you can do to save your gallbladder or any organ, you want to be able to do. That's such a high priority. I wish doctors would have some of this knowledge, Anne Louise. That's the ultimate goal, is to get our traditional medical doctors to start paying attention more. I guess it'll come with their patients start asking for or demanding that they do that. It's more likely.
I would agree. I mean, and you're right, the gallbladder is not a throwaway organ, but neither is the appendix for that matter, which again is another time for another topic for another book. Yeah, so we're standing up for the gallbladders. We've got a lot of gall in reference to the gallbladder in this day and age.
So we have a few minutes left, Anne Louise. What is important that we didn't cover that you want to be able to share with us today?
Well, I think that what's important for people to understand is that there is a fix for women that are known as slow losers, that are over the age of 40, that have had their thyroids hampered by one reason or another, that have had their gallbladders out. We do this through my program of detoxifying the bile, then boosting bile production. We have a four-day program where people have actually juiced off 12 pounds in 4 days, and that's because they're getting rid of a lot of toxic, I call it toxic false fat, a lot of water retention. And so the program really works. We give you a lot of support. The whole idea of adding bitters back to your program will be good for your digestion for the rest of your life. It's not just a short-term program. This is a lifestyle change. So putting bitters back, bittering up for 2019 is one of our mottos. Bitter is better. We also talk about the importance of the right kind of fats to substantiate and to sustain mitochondria production. The book discusses issues, again, with the pots and pans, which is important, and also the important ratio between the omega-6s and the omega-3s, which people never recognize correctly. So we bust a lot of nutritional myths. We rewrite the rules of nutrition. We're radical, a little weird, but the program works, and that's probably my basic story here.
Yeah. You know, I like weird. I think weird is always good.
If it works, it's wonderful.
I've been weird for a long time. But you also have recipes in your Radical Metabolism book. And you even talk about some dark chocolate. I guess dark chocolate would be considered a bitter, wouldn't it?
It is, and we talk about the dark chocolate from the Lilly brand because it's one of the best ones on the market that doesn't have a lot of sugar, so I like that, in moderation, of course. And even coffee, and I have to tell you something, I've never been a coffee fan, but I've changed my tune after reading the research about how important it is to slash problems with your cholesterol as well as your aches and pains and the effect it has on your brain and the acumen that you have. So quite frankly, there's a lot to be said for many of these of our favorite foods anyhow. You know, they're food lovers' favorites, chocolate and coconut and coffee. It all depends upon the type. And we put a lot of these foods in a special combination to kind of get you started first thing in the morning and give you a little treat as well. So I think the program is very doable.
So that's great because I do like my one cup of coffee a day, and which is my morning cup, and I definitely have dark chocolate as a treat. So, you know, even I think Trader Joe's has a sugar-free, I think it's made with stevia chocolate.
Oh, it's like the Lilies. It's like my Lilies.
Yeah. I have one other question before we go. The keto diet, high-fat diet. You want to make a comment about that and related to the gallbladder topic?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it may be going in the right direction for some people, but having all that fat and not the right kind of fat either, might I suggest, in many cases, can be disastrous for those that don't have a gallbladder or have a lot of gallbladder issues or congealed or congested bile. So this takes the keto diet, tweaks it in a way that's healthy, and makes you a convert to a more radical lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that's really important because people we're all trying to find the best diet to attain whatever goals we have. But if we don't understand some basics, like what we have been talking today about, the bile and the gallbladder and the ramifications, and you just jump onto a bandwagon, but your body may not be able to cope with something that is like a high-fat diet, like in the keto, then you're going to run into trouble. So it's not going to work for you. So you've got to get educated to find out what's the best thing to support your body with the needs that your body has at this moment. You know, you have to do a little more research before you jump onto any bandwagon diet-wise or any
It's true, and there's some wonderful things that you can say about the keto plan and the paleo plan. They just have to do a bit of an oil change and get the fat digestion up to optimum levels by increasing your HCL, your bile acids, and all of the nutrients that are lipotropic to get the fat metabolized properly. So that's the big bugaboo when it comes to that. But if people read Radical Metabolism, they can then do any of these programs much more healthfully and in a much more sustained manner.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's why I love what you're doing. So I definitely encourage everyone to go and pick up a copy of Radical Metabolism by Anne Louise Gittleman. And I guess, Anne Louise, Amazon, the normal places, your website, you sell it on your website as well.
Well, I'll tell you something. I think if your listeners will go to radicalmetabolism.com, they can buy the book from any recognized bookseller, but we will give them three little goodies. We have three little download gifts. We've got recipes, we've got ways to stock your kitchen, and a report on crushing cravings, and a 30% off coupon on the coffee that I have discovered, which is so radically healthy.
Well, there you go. So radicalmetabolism.com is the website to go to. And, you know, you're always filled with such great tips, Anne Louise. I really want to thank you for the hours and hours and hours of research that you put into your work so we can really find the best roadmap to get our health back into optimal functioning, optimal range. So thank you once again for all the great work you're doing and for helping all of us to have a healthier, happier 2019.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cheryl Selman.
So to all of you listening, thank you for joining me and my guest today, Anne Louise Gittleman, who's the author of Radical Metabolism. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. And I'll be back next week, so come join me for more important and empowering and life-changing conversations. And until then, remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.